Good morning, church family. My name is Brandon. I'm the lead pastor here at High Point Fellowship. And before we get going today, can I just give a special shout out to all the moms out there and especially to my mom. Hi, Mama. Love you. If you're a mom, can I just tell you that we are so, so thankful for you. You are loved and you are appreciated. And we are just celebrating you today. So we hope that you're spoiled today. We hope that your family is treating you well, and just know that we love you, and we know that the world is a better place because we have moms, right? I'm going to tell you a little Mother's Day joke. There was a mom, and she was out walking with her four-year-old daughter, and on their walk, the girl bent down, and she picked up something off the ground, and she was about to put it in her mouth, and the mom quickly stopped her. She says, "Honey, we don't put things like that in our mouth." And the little girl looks at her mom and says, "Why not?" The mom replies, "Because it's been on the ground. It's dirty. We don't do that. It probably has germs on it." And at this point, the little girl looked at her mom with total admiration and just said, "Mom, how do you know all this stuff? You're so wise." And the mom said, "Well, all moms know this. All right, you have to pass a mom test before becoming a mom. And if you don't pass the test, then they don't let you be a mom." They walked along in silence for a few more minutes, and the little girl pondered this new information. And after a few moments, she perked up and she said, "Oh, I get it, Mom. If you don't pass the mom test, then I guess you just have to be the dad." Oh, that's terrible that nobody laughs, but I hope you're laughing at home because it's true. Where would we be without moms? Anyways, my hope is for each of you that today is a really special Mother's Day. We love you and we appreciate you out there. And since I can't really segue from that joke right into my sermon, let me give you a few other little updates, announcements of sorts. Last week we added a welcome form to our YouTube videos. It'll be on the website as well, and it'll be on the comment section or down below the description on the YouTube page. So you can click down this way, click the Show More button, and or the little arrow if you're on your mobile phone, and there'll be some links down there that you can click on, and those links are there so that you can send us prayer requests, that you let us know how you're doing, or if you have any needs, or if maybe you just want to find out a little bit more about High Point Fellowship. We would love to hear from you. Go ahead and click that later on today and send us a little note and let us know how you're doing, and if there's anything we could be praying for you about. And then lastly, we want to just let you know that we do have a tentative plan to reopen the doors for Sunday services, which are scheduled tentatively to happen on Sunday, May 24th. We're going to have further details for you and maybe a more laid out plan in the announcements next Sunday. But can I just tell you that we, as your leadership, are taking this really seriously. We want you to be safe. We want you to have the fellowship that you need. We want you to be encouraged and built up in your faith. And that's why even when we reopen the doors, we are going to continue offering online services really for the foreseeable future. We know that some of you aren't able to come even when we do reopen the doors. And so we want to love and honor you by continuing this. So don't feel like you're going to miss out if you don't come Sunday, May 24th. We will still be here, and we're working on all those details for the coming days. And please know that your pastors, your staff, the trustees, the shepherds, they want to serve you and love you the best way that we can. We're praying diligently about how to make all this happen, and we're looking forward to the day where we could all be back here under the same roof to worship together. But until that day comes, just know that we are here for you. We love you. And be on the lookout for this information as we give it out there in the next week or so. And be praying for your church leadership as they seek to honor the Lord in these decisions as well. It's a tough road to walk. It's uncharted waters. But just know that we are trying to do this the best way that we can because we love you. So that's it for my announcements. We're actually going to have regular announcements later, so you could disregard these if you you don't want to pay attention right now. But we are currently in the series through the books of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and we're calling this series Going for a Walk, right? As followers of Jesus, we are called to walk in the light as He is in the light. The prophet Isaiah reminded us that to come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. We want our church family to be people who are living in the light of Jesus, walking in their faith as followers of Him. And the way John the Apostle encourages us as believers to do that is by calling them back to these three basics of the Christian life, these three tenets: true doctrine, obedient living, and faithful devotion. And another way that we are trying to encourage our church family in this season is by posting pictures of things that you see while you're out on a walk on Facebook and on Instagram. And that has been a huge success. I've loved to see just tons and tons of pictures that are getting posted each week. And I would encourage you to continue to do that. We want to use this time to remind others and our church family that our God is still present. He is still working. And His creation still sings of His glory. So join with us. I encourage our church family to gather. Post those to our Facebook or Instagram pages. There's going to be a link right here. And include the hashtag High Point Was Here on those. And we can go through and look at those and be encouraged together. John is going to give us a really beautiful reminder today of what going on a walk with Jesus looks like. And if you would, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to talk about walking in love. Begin with me in verse 7. John says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever has been born of God, whoever loves, has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us." We'll stop right there. You know, the Apostle John is known as the Apostle of Love, right? We're told in the Gospels that he was the one that Jesus loved. And the subject of love is one that really keeps coming back throughout John's writings. And John loved others so well, and he was so loved by his church family, that church historians tell us this incredible story of the last week of John's life, the last weeks. He'd become so frail and so feeble that he was unable to gather together with his people in the church. And so it's told to us that the elders of the church would actually go to John's home and they would carry him for their weekly gatherings. They would carry him to the building so that John could be with the people. And it said that on that last Sunday, on the last Sunday that John was able to be in the church with his people, we're told that the only thing he said to them was, "Beloved, let us love one another." You see, John wasn't called the Apostle of Love because he was some sappy, over-sentimental guy who cried all the time, right? His reason for keeping love at the center of his message is because even though as believers we've been saved by the blood of Jesus, until the day we stand with Him in glory, we still struggle with sin. We are still sinners. We hurt one another. We let each other down. We say offensive, hurtful things. We have different personalities. We have different experiences and opinions. But despite all of that, John understood that even though we're still sinners, when we gather, when we are the church together, we are the family of God. We are still family, even through all those differences and all those struggles. John knew that all families go through hard times together. And maybe this is one of those, right? Because you've been locked in your house for months on end, and maybe your family's getting on your last nerve. But John talks throughout all his writings about how important it is for Christians to love one another, to love the family of God that they've been given. And it's a theme that he's going to revisit here again in 1 John chapter 4. Jesus also told his disciples this same thing back in the upper room in John chapter 13. And the apostle John would have been sitting right there as Jesus said in John 13:34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." You see, this commandment to love one another comes straight out of the Old Testament, straight out of Leviticus chapter 19, where Yahweh told the people to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus gives us a clear example of how we are to love one another as he has loved us. And we can see it so clearly, Jesus' love for us when he was there on the cross. Right? He gives us this perfect example of how he actually wants us to love one another, how practically we are called to love one another. His example of on the cross says to us, "I want you to be willing to lay down your life for the sake of your brothers and sisters. I want you to seek the kingdom and its righteousness first. I want you to die to self. I want you to give yourself away. I want you to serve others, and I want you to serve the church like I have served you." Remember, John was there in the upper room with Jesus, hearing Jesus say these words in person. And he heard Jesus say to the disciples, "Beloved, love one another as I have loved you. By this, the world will know that you are mine if you love one another." It's John 13:34. John heard those words and it changed him. It changed him. It changed the way he did ministry. It changed who he was, so much so that you can see on every page of his letters this idea that God has called us, Jesus has called us to love one another as he has loved us. John continues on in verses 7 through 12. He says, "Look, we should love one another because God is love. And he has shown us that love when he gave us his son, Jesus." In other words, he says to us, we ought to love one another because of who God is and what God has done. He encourages us to live this out the way that God has commanded us to. And Jesus is giving us this example of how to keep that commandment. Church, we should love one another because it is the evidence of God's love and work of grace in our lives. It's the evidence of God moving and transforming our hearts from hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. We ought to love one another because God himself is love, and he has loved us in the giving of his own son. Now, John is going to give us several things in this passage that we should pay attention to. So let's look at them together, right? In verses 7 to 8, he tells us that love itself comes from God. This is a profound thought because often we think that love comes from within us. But look at what John says. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." God himself is the source of all love. I don't know if you've thought about that before. That was profound for me this week as I studied. God himself is the source of all love. If you love, it's because God is loving through you. He has given you the ability to love because he is love. When you see people loving one another, John is telling us that love always comes from God himself. It's a gift from him to you as you pour it out to those around you. All love flows from God. All love is derivative from God. It derives from him. And God, John isn't just talking about some sort of emotion or feeling. He's talking about the pure and perfect love of God. He's telling us about a love that requires a sacrificial commitment to others. Self-sacrifice, putting the needs of others first. John is calling us to this kind of self-denying, self-giving commitment to one another's best interests. Putting the needs of others first. That's what God's love looks like. To look out for one another, to care for one another, to encourage one another, and to help one another. And John is telling us here in 1 John 4 that that kind of love can only ever come from God the Father. You can't give yourself away unless God has filled you up with his love first. God is the source of love, and God is the source of our ability to give ourselves away in love. You love others because God's love is flowing through you. John is reminding us that when we see real love at work, we should remind ourselves that this is proof that God is working in and through us and among us. As Christians, we imitate and we reflect the love that flows from God himself. And that kind of love should lead us to love God and to love our neighbor. John is saying that if you know who God is, if you have a relationship with him, and if you know that he is the source of all love, then it will show in the way that you treat and love other people. Now, secondly, in verses 9 through 11, John writes, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Church, we are called to not only love because God is the source of love, but we are called to love because of the love that we have received from the Father when he gave us his Son, Jesus. He's reminding us of how great and complete God's love is for us. God's love for us is shown through the life and the death and the obedience of Jesus Christ so that we as his children could also have life. We have life because of the love of God for us. God's love is manifested not just in God sending his Son into the world, but especially in God sending his Son to the cross. On behalf of all those who put their trust in him, Jesus came to die a death, to turn away the judgment of God against us, to cover our sins so that we might have fellowship with God, so that we could experience the love of God himself. That's what the cross accomplishes for us. And fellowship with the living God is our salvation. When the Lord again becomes our God and we again become his people, we truly experience the love of God. God loved us so completely that he gave us the blood of his own Son, so that we might live with him in eternity. And John's only response to that love is that we then should love one another. If you have been loved so completely by your God, so completely by Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross, then how can we not love those around us? How can we not love those who God has also called his children? John wants to remind us again and again of how great the love our Father has for us. Now, he's not done there, though. Look with me at verse 12. He gives us another reason that we're called to love one another. He writes and he says, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us." What John's saying is that God's love is made visible to us when we love one another the way we are called to love one another in His Word. We are called to love one another, not just to encourage one another, but as a witness to the world that God's love is real. We are called to love one another so that the world can see the love of God themselves. Your practical commitment, your selfless, sacrificial love for one another is a witness to the world of the love of God. Church, have you thought about that truth? That your treatment of others, the way that you love one another, is a visible demonstration of God's love for His people. I think that makes loving one another an essential part of our faith, of walking with Jesus, because it shows those that don't have a relationship with Him that our God is a God who loves. Church, that means that the love we have for one another, the love, the way we treat one another, is an evangelistic action. Right? This is why love within the confines of our church family is so important. It's why we cannot put ourselves first, our needs first. It's why we must strive for unity. Because in those things, the world sees the love of God. They see it in the way that we treat one another, the way we serve one another, the way we talk about one another, the way we care for one another. The world is watching us, and if we're not a reflection of God's love, then we're missing it. This applies to our marriages. This applies to our friendships within the life of the church. It applies to the way we treat one another when we disagree with one another, when there's division among us. The world is looking at the church. The world is looking at our lives. And my question to you today is, when they look at you, are they seeing love? Are they seeing love or judgment? Love or impatience? When the world looks at the way that we speak to one another, do they see the love of God? When they look at your marriage, do they see the love of God? When they look at the way you raise your children, the way you speak to them, do they see the love of God? When they look at the way you run your business and how you conduct yourself at work, do they see the love of God? When someone has wronged you or hurt you, when the world looks at your response, do they see the love of God? Church, it's imperative that we learn to love one another well, that we grow in this area of our faith, despite our many failures, despite our sinfulness, because the way we love one another is the witness that the world sees of the love of our God. And church, our God desperately loves this world, this broken, dark, dying world. He loves it. And He's asking and calling us to be that love that shines in the darkness, to show people that He is a God who cares. John was in the upper room when his master said to him, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." If you have love for one another. The two most powerful tools for the spread of the gospel are the Word of God and the love of God's people for one another. Because we have been loved so completely, we should love as we have been loved. You should strive to love the way Jesus has loved you. That's an incredible challenge. And going for a walk with Jesus means that we strive, we learn to love others better. We work at it. Not just when it's convenient or easy, not just when we're having a good day, but sacrificially, when you're tired, when you're having a bad day. Loving the way Jesus loved us when He laid down His life for us. We can't receive the love of God for ourselves and not love others. That is the heartbeat
of 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 12. You cannot receive the love of God and not love others. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Four Loves. And in it, he makes this statement. He says, just as there are none good but God and nothing good but his goodness, so there are no loves but love itself, the very love. And that what I call the other unnatural loves are not loves at all in their own right, but become so only so far as they participate in his very love. The real love only occurs when we participate in the love of God. Brothers and sisters, John is pleading with us to know the love of God for yourself, to know that he cares for you deeply, and then to participate in that love by loving others, by loving your neighbors. Take a few moments today and think about how great God's love is for you. It's a love that was given to you freely by the Father, that was seen in the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, that was revealed to us by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And he's calling each one of us to take that same love into the world for the glory of our God. So this week, as you walk with Jesus through this life of faith, as you go for a walk with him, may the words of John constantly ring in your ears. Beloved, let us love one another. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who loves us. You've loved us so completely and so perfectly, and we honestly come to you today admitting that we struggle with loving others. We even struggle sometimes loving those that you've put closest to us. And Lord, I pray that as we challenge ourselves in our faith, as we seek to know you more, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, that you would teach us to love as Jesus loved. Lord, we praise you that you are a God who loves us even though we didn't deserve it. You loved us even when we were unlovable. And all that you seek for us to do is to take the love that you've given and to share it with those that don't have it, that the world may know that you are a God, not of wrath, but of love, a God who desires relationship, desires for those that are lost to come into that relationship with you and to experience that beautiful love. We praise you today. We praise you for your word. We praise you for your goodness and your love towards us. And today we just want to say, Lord, we love you. We love you, but only because you loved us first. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Go now and love one another, because love is from God. Proclaim God's salvation to every generation, and remain in Christ, and like branches of a vine, draw your life from him. May God's love make you fruitful as you begin to learn how to love your neighbor. May Jesus Christ abide in you and give you his life. And may the Holy Spirit cast out all fear and fill you with the love of God. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Happy Mother's Day, High Point. We love you guys. Have a wonderful week.